Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to the program. Our intro did not happen. I'm not sure why. Okay. See if it's interesting. Okay. Well, welcome to the program, everyone. Hope you all are having a wonderful Wednesday. And I am not sure if the intro is going on or not. Wow, I am having a heck of a time here. Let me know in the chat room also if you guys can hear me. Tamara, can you hear me? So my Mercury retrograde is definitely starting early. Car problems, computer problems, tour in the shop, and now this with BTR. Anyway, it's great to be here always. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you so much. You hear me. Thank you. Boy, do I need today's show or what? Anyway, I'm always great to be here, so appreciative to be here with everybody every Wednesday. I just look at it as a wonderful little check-in, connect-in with ourselves and with each other, and a little bit of a tune-up, if you will, for all of us. I want to say hi to everybody listening via iTunes, the Archive, Tuned In Radio, and also thank Player FM for making us Best New Age Podcast, 215. We keep making that list, and I think that has to do with all of us co-creating in this wonderful endeavor and unfolding. You know, Awakenings is a place for a lot of people to get really good information and support, and always we have great, great guests on the program. Today we have a wonderful guest, amazing woman, very dedicated to her own path. She's actually done a lot of work with me, and which I have a joy. She's a joy to work with, and she has really created her life in a very fulfilling way and is of service to so many as a healer, a doula. She's the author of The Mindful Mom-to-Be, best-selling book on A Modern Doula's Guide to Building a Healthy Foundation from Pregnancy Through Birth. And way up and high up, I think it's number one in pregnancy on Amazon and on the bestseller list. So I've actually been reading it. It's a really good read. There's some great exercises in the book, great meditations, and even some stuff that I contributed to her that she so graciously put in the book as well. But a great read for moms to be, moms right now, and I think anybody really, you know, it's a handbook to building a better foundation in your life. So she will be coming on at the second half of the program. And before then, we will be diving into callers as well. And that number, if you'd like to call in, is 347-539-5122. And that's 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on your keypad. That will let me know that you would like to get on air. Otherwise, I may pick up the phone and surprise you, right? Again, 347-539-5122 is the call-in number, and just let me know that you would like to get on air, and we will do that for you. Always a joy. And we're still going to get to callers just in a minute, so if you can just hold on. Hold on, and I will get to you. I did a post the other day on intention, and I think it's so important right now. There's a lot of clearing out, cleaning house, and I'm not kidding. Have I really been going through it? I was on the way, because the Soul Entrepreneurship Group, we're meeting this Saturday. And by the way, if you want to know information about it, you can go to soulentrepreneurship.life or soulentrepreneurship.com and find out if this is something that you are interested in, or oh, there's some good tidbits on the site as well. So anyway, I'm on the way to do the tech meeting, and my car, just this little red light goes on in the shape of a battery, and then I'm like, and it starts slowing down. I'm like, what is going on here? My car is very dependable. And normally, I just car, you know, what shows the mechanical universe, and I've been kind of contemplating this, how we are, everything has this mechanization to us, even our body. You know, you have to keep it, some things break down, some things break, you know, some things need tune-ups, redoing, you know, our cells regenerate, as well. And I feel so can our cars actually also, you know, I think anything can if you put the right energy to it and, you know, have that healing intention. Anyway, so I'm driving, pull over, read in the manual. It says, don't drive. It's this drive belt. So, of course, I want to drive it a little bit. I'm thinking, well, I can give it to my mechanic. Well, I got it pretty far. Then it started smoking, and think I was on the phone with a friend of mine, went over the street, over Lincoln, in the middle of the road, and I'm like, okay, let's just send some light to the car to get to the other side, because I'm not in the mood to be stopped in the middle of traffic in the hot sun waiting for the tow truck. I'd like to be waiting under a tree. So, of course, car did make it to under a tree. And then my computers, two of them gone, one got some liquid on the keyboard, the other one has to be optimized. Let's see if there's anything else. I think that's about it. I think that's enough, actually. But I did get, what I do want to share with everyone, I got an amazing water filtration system that is alkaline water, and it's also oxygenated, I believe ionized as well. Anyway, it has this whole process from this company called AlkaLogic, A-L-K-A Logic. And if you're in the LA area, it's really quite reasonable. They have three different types of systems or ways to get your system, and the water is just amazing. The owner is amazing, Avi, and the woman that manages it, Fee. They're just lovely, so supportive. They want people. He's been in the business, I guess, 12 years, and just on the back end, and now just opened this. So I want to give a shout out to them, and share. You know, I believe if I stumble across or draw something in that is amazing, you know, of course, I want to share it with everyone. And so I've been seeing in my own life this whole kind of clearing and up-leveling. And, of course, this has a lot to do also with the astrological aspects. We still have Saturn and Scorpio. We're digging deep before it goes into Sag. And, of course, it's playing into Uranus in Aries. The spotlight is on, and the spotlight is on all of us to really, you keep hearing me say this, but it's so important, look at what you value. How do you value? There could be maintenance issues come up, whether it's your body, your mind, your things, your devices, your cars, your house. Looking to see where can you tune up? Where do you need to? And sometimes you might not know, like my situation that I have. I feel like, oh, my God, I'm doubly hit. Wowza, wowza, wowza. But it's all good, and it's all in a flow. And I've actually met some very cool people and had some good experiences through my challenges right now. So take a look in your life right now as to what seems to be fitting in, and you don't notice it just by seeing, but what really fitting in, feeling it, what seems to be fitting in and working to the greater good, the greater flow, the greater unfolding of yourself, seems to be more in alignment or resonance to more authenticity, authentic living, soul expression, creativity, more truth, your truth. And it changes over time. So we as beings, that have reflecting consciousness, we need to take the time out before we go into next steps or next levels, next arenas, to assess. So we're all in this assessing period. You know, movement really helps with this a lot, whether it's swimming, dancing, yoga, weights, anything where you're moving the body, walking, anything where there's movement within the body, even if it's just moving your arms, but just allowing the energy to flow more continually and more completely. That's what this is all about. Because when we change or we regenerate cells, there's movement in that. Some cells are leaving. Some cells are being optimized by what we eat or by what we drink. So everything has this flow to it. Everything has this movement. Even if it seems like it's static or isn't moving, there still is movement. We are particles of movement. There's constant movement, sometimes fast, sometimes slow. So see where you're needing that movement in your life. And again, movement can even be moving ideas, changing ideas around, reconsidering something. We're approaching a retrograde, and that's going to bring a different kind of reevaluating and more in a relationship. Although this has been about relationship too, because it's been about what we value, and what we value shows what we have or how we have a relationship to something or to someone, and in what way do we experience that person or that thing. You know, it's, everything is relational, and that is really hitting home. With that, we're going to get to callers. Again, the number 347-539-5122. 661-332, you're on air.
Hello,
welcome.
Hello. Hey.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Michelle. Is this? I had a question about kind of my financial situation.
Okay.
Kind of got stuck.
Give us your first name.
Charles. Yeah.
Charles. Hi,
yeah.
Charles.
Hi. got a little stuck in the last 2 months, and I've been kind of getting in a negative state of mind at times. I mean, I try to bring it back and be a little positive, but I guess I have a question about a new person I've been meaning to do business with.
Okay.
I was going to there's a contract that I was going to sign, but it was really bad, so I had to talk to him about it, and I plan on trying to fix it, but I don't know how that whole thing's going to pan out. So,
okay, say what happened about the contract. Say what happened about the contract now. The contract.
Again.
No, what were you saying about that? You're thinking about signing it, or?
I'm not signing it until it's fixed. It was not good.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And we were trying to correct it, but I guess I'm trying to see if that's a good move anyway.
Okay, let's see. Well, it definitely showed. Okay, so did you send it back? You sent it back, right? Or about to?
Not yet, until I make sure that we can agree on something good. I'm going to go meet up with them in person and talk about what would be best. And once we fix it, you know, then I'll sign it. But I'm trying to see if it is a good move. It seems, I felt a really good energy from the whole interaction with them.
Okay, yeah. You know, and here's Charles. Here's what you're kind of what I'm getting from this. You're, and you know, I was talking about value earlier. You're learning your value and to trust your value. And I think for all of us, there's a great phrase: this or something better. This or something better. So I feel if you follow through with him. I'm seeing you sending the contract back, so maybe that means that you send it back and say, hey, we need to work on this more. So there does seem to be a back and forth with the contract, so you're probably going to be, what I'm seeing, you're probably going to be negotiating for a bit with it. If that makes sense.
Wait, say that again.
It seems like you're going to be negotiating a bit over the contract. I don't see just one read and fix it. I feel it's showing back and forth. Now, are you using an attorney?
I had one guy look over it, and then he was going to send it to an attorney. Cool thing about the guy that gave me the contract was that he was willing to pay for my attorney to fix it, which is just felt really good. So that's why I was like, man, I really want to try to work with him because he seems pretty honest.
Give me the first. So that's the back and forth. If you're sending it to another guy and then he's sending it to an attorney, then it goes back to him and back to you and then back to the other guy. So I'm seeing kind of a whole dance with this, probably at least into the next couple of weeks. You'll probably, my sense is, you're probably signing it in the retrograde. So it's a good thing you've started it now. I know.
Oh, man. Because, this was so long ago, and I was so bothered that it's been taking so long. And now that you say that, it just makes it even worse. Because it's like I'm not doing that well right now.
Here's the thing about retrogrades. If you've already started something, usually you'll catch something if it's in a retrograde. Because it's not always not a bad – it's always – you know, and even if somebody, like, sometimes people have, you know, if you have your Mercury in retrograde natally, that can also work for you. So it's initiating something new or signing something new, like if somebody's going out to get a car or something. But if you've been in negotiations back and forth, it usually means that during the retrograde something might be changed or you find something that you didn't notice or didn't think would be an issue, you know, or something's tweaked or adjusted. But that's if you've started it ahead of time. So that's good. If you've started it way ahead of time, you're already in the process. It's just basically like closing the deal is what's happening.
Okay.
And sometimes closing the deal means that you're working with people either that you've known before, you know, sometimes the retrograde doesn't. It can also mean something that you've been working on before or brings back something that you've been working or someone that you've been working with. So now let me I'm going to tune in on him a little bit more. Give me his first name, please.
Paul.
First name, or if you're comfortable with that, or initial. Paul?
Paul.
Okay. Say that again.
Paul.
Paul, that's what it
is. P-A-U-L.
Okay. Okay, so it does show like the Virgoing energy that especially that's up now is going to be good for the two of you, and it does also show that he's very diligent. He's very he's very detail oriented too. Is what I'm seeing. So he expected you to send it back. He knows the deal, so he expects a back and forth. So this is not throwing him off at all. And yeah, it's you. It's saying be warm but detached. In other words, you've got the hey, I like this person side. But then it's saying also have the side that, hey, I need what's best for all of us. So this is a whole new learning curve for you. Let's see how.
Yeah,
it says go do it. Go for it.
Yeah, no, that felt really good. And he showed me one of his friends that he wanted me to work with. And we just hit it off, super spiritual dude, like, he seems like the person that would take my art to the next level because he was on the same page of what I was talking about. And it just felt really good. I was like, wow, this is like something I kind of wanted to happen for a long time. I also had some kind of problems with some people I've been working with in the past that are actually people that are doing really well, but, like, I felt like they were doing something really shady, and then I kind of called them out on it. And I don't know. I mean, it would be a good look for me to still work with them, the label, but it's just that person. You know, it's just like I don't know if I trust his intentions all the time, you know. And it's just been kind of bad because I had a lot of other problems with some other people around the same time. So I kind of got a little angry because I was just like, I can't go through this pattern again, you know. So I just felt like I had to speak up.
Mm-hmm. And you did. How did that go?
Nobody. I mean, I was willing to talk about the situation, but that person didn't. They seemed like they didn't want to talk about it because maybe it just made them feel weird, you know, that I had to say that. I don't care. I mean, I think anybody would have said that the way he came about doing things. It was just not right, you know. But, so.
Sometimes it's just knowing that something is off or not right. And if you know that, you know, because I believe me, you know, when you work with people or organizations, you're always going to be some that are not quite right or not or off. You know, I'd like to say off, not a match to you. But it's really showing you to kind of hold your own. You know, use your own focus, talents, and beliefs to raise yourself. And, you know, because I do see you're going to be working with a lot of different people, and some of them that I feel that you haven't worked with before that might even be, I keep hearing strangers. So there is going to be this part of you that has to kind of get along, even if on an inner level you're like, wow, I'm not really that connected to this person in this way. I feel like
it's
you're going to get matched up with a lot of different
about.
People.
Because
okay.
He runs a label, and I've done stuff on a label, and it's almost like I don't mind doing stuff on a label, but then I think about him like, well, it's his label, and it's like I'm propping him up, but at the same time it feels like it's always for him. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
But here's the thing.
But then at the same time, the label is not just ran by him. So I don't feel as bad because
I've worked for people before in spiritual organizations or other organizations that the person at the top was shady or doing things that were not very conscious or, you know. But what I've learned in my meditation and tuning in with my guides was, who am I there for? Not that person. I was there for the students. So I feel for you, if you focus on the music, who are you there for? And sometimes spirit places us in a place that we wonder, why am I here? But we're here to bring our light, our awareness, not even necessarily always having to say something, just us being there. Just us being there creates a shift, you know. And one person, and I've come to know this, I really didn't agree with this, but I do now. One person had told me, aren't we all healing? And it's so true. We're all in various degrees of healing. So as you are more aligned, you'll have less of that, you know, dissonance or dissonant people, but not 100% because we attract everything here on this planet. We attract, right?
Yeah, and we're constantly doing new things, so it's always going to be some type of learning. And
your light is needed. Yeah, and your light is learning for you, but your light is needed there, Charles. Your light is needed, so shine your light brightly there.
One last question. Am I going to lose my apartment? I've been kind of in a bad situation, so I'm not even sure what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to keep working on stuff. And it sucks because, you know, people have been helping me out, but then it's like I don't want help because I feel like I've been helped enough and I got to do something for myself, you know, and I feel like I got to pay people back. So it just doesn't make me feel good, you know. I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen with this within the next 2 months or so.
Yes, but again, ask, you are valuable. So be open to receive the help And just know that you'll be able to, whether it's monetarily payback or through appreciation or kindness or just being there for somebody, you will be able to have that reciprocation, you know, or cook someone a nice meal or take them out, you know, whatever. But I feel for you, you're at such a pivotal point right now. It's because when you start really seeing your value, when people are helping you, you see that it's not from lack. In other words, it's not because you're not good enough or can't get it together or can't this or that or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's where you're at right now, and it's also serving them to be able to help as well. So you're in a whole phase right now, Charles, of really connecting into your value.
Yeah, definitely. It made me see that earlier when I had problems with people because I was like, I can't sell myself short anymore because I look at other people and I'm like, they're doing so much better, you know, financially. And it's like, why am I not, you know, because I'm so just willing to just work on stuff creatively. That's just what I like to do. And a lot of times I felt like, you know, that's the main purpose for me. But now it's like, I mean, if I don't make any money, then how am I going to support myself and keep doing this if I don't have anywhere to go?
That's right. Yeah. Yes. So it's, here's the thing. It's to not focus only on the money, but be open to money. Just be open to receive however it's coming. Your need being fulfilled. The universe is, you know, fulfills our need. It's like we echo something out and then it comes back. So yeah, opening to say, yeah, why not? Why I can have that too. I want that too. I call it name it and claim it. Name what you want and then claim it. Name it and claim it. That's your soul growth homework. And by the way, Tamara is putting, this is great, Charles, feeling into your gut, into intuiting, feeling into your intuition and integrity. Yeah. So that's for all of us right now. This is why we're seeing our value or what we value, what we need. There's deal breakers right now. It's like a lot of deal breakers. It's like naming and saying, I want that. What is that? Name it and then claim it and say, I want that, or I am that, or I have that. You know, because really when we're claiming something, it's already here in the universe. It's already here etherically. We're just drawing it into us. It's very powerful to speak those words. Very powerful. Thanks, Charles. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for taking the time
with
me this time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Keep us, you're so welcome. And keep us posted. Everybody in the chat's buzzing and, you know, want to know how you're doing. And, you know, we all do. So.
All right, we'll do.
Keep us posted.
Thank
on
you
the
so
unfolding.
Much.
Okay. All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye. Okay, we've got 310-995. You're on Awakenings Radio. Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
310-995. Hi,
Michelle. Hi, it's Krista.
Oh,
how are you?
Hi, Krista. Welcome. I'm doing great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing good. So recently, you know, my boyfriend moved out and moved back to San Francisco, and so it's been a so
wow.
It's been kind of an adjustment.
You guys been in contact? Yeah.
A little bit here and there. Yeah. Because it wasn't on bad terms. I think we've talked about it before, but so I mean, I'm kind of just curious about maybe how he's feeling about things.
Okay.
And also, you know, what I need to focus on as well for me to get past this.
Okay. And give me first name of him. First name.
James.
Okay, yeah, it showed. Now, was this kind of a sudden thing, a sudden move?
Yeah, it was all out of the blue. We were doing great. We were, you know, talking about marriage, kids, and everything, and then he just was like, I miss my San Francisco.
Family,
I want to go back.
Right? Friends,
yeah,
family. Okay.
Family,
yeah, okay, because it shows like, because I'm tuning into him. He does feel a little shell shock is what I'm showing, so he is feeling a bit like, yeah, he was pulled out and then pulled back, so he's having an adjustment. Well, you guys had quite some chemistry. He's still thinking about you romantically.
Right. We were very connected that way. I mean, we were truly in love, and he just, you know, made all these decisions without really talking to me about it, and that's what happened. And he put all these things into play, and then he couldn't back out of it.
But have you been talking to him? Because it's showing there could be a possibility of still dating.
We have been talking, but recently I kind of had to, you know, him and I both kind of just like, if this is, you know, you're there, I'm here, we can't really talk. It's just not healthy, you know, or it hurts too much, you know.
Too much, okay. So you have, okay.
Which sucks because, I mean, we were, not only were we, you know, in love, but we were friends, and so it's tough, you know, when to kind of cut off.
Yeah, I don't know. I give it some time. I'm getting he still has feelings for you.
Yeah. I mean,
You feel that? Because he's a little all over the place with what he wants. I don't know if this, you know, he probably should have set up a better foundation for himself is what I'm hearing here. But I'm not seeing him so happy where he's at either.
Right. I can feel that too.
Yeah. He kind of did a boo-boo.
He knows that. And I think he knew that before he even left. He had already made his, you know, he couldn't back it out.
Okay. I don't know why I'm getting you seeing him again, and I'm getting even dating. So I don't know. He's probably going, but I'm not so sure. You may be the one that's actually pulling back more or trying to get something. I see you leaving the door open with him, but I also see you opening the door for others to come in as well.
Right. I mean, he kind of, you know, did leave. And
yeah, because the trust, you know, I know it hurts. You know, I can feel that, and I can also empathize. But
right.
I also see that there's a part of you, I think if he had to talk to you about it, you'd have a different feeling. I think the trust, that's what I'm seeing with you, is the trust factor is really what's causing you to pull back.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, when he didn't talk to me about it, and, you know, in relationships, that should be communication is key. And he just didn't, and I also felt that he just, because he wasn't talking to me, he didn't really care how I felt. He wasn't making me a priority.
Yes. Yes. And it does happen to be a little more of a male thing now. And I don't care if that's a woman that has a lot of male energy or a guy, they tend to, not all, but so I think he's going to be reconsidering. I think they're showing it. I'm going to look at it another way, but I don't want to build false hope, but every time I'm looking at it, it's showing that it's not completely done, you know? And he could even ask you if you would be the one to move. And Tamara even put that in the chat. He may ask you to come to SF in the future once he has more support. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's completely done. I think you're going to have a little chance or choice on this. But I do feel, Tamara, I agree with you in the chat. Intuitive in there. Yeah, I feel like he's, I don't know what it is. He's also better suited to San Francisco. He's not really a Southern Cal guy.
Right.
And,
no. Yes.
Some people just aren't. And the work and the money and the family and the friends. But I don't know if I would X him out. It shows calls. It shows you're not gonna. There's a destiny issue at play here. He has a decision to make. And again, if what it would be is if he did, there would definitely be like the ring, engagement, you know, marriage, that whole thing.
Right.
So I'm going to look at one more, because I'm definitely, and I think I'm thanking Tamara in the chat, because I'm like, wow, he's still considering. He is still,
Okay. All right. I would just completely shut myself out.
No, I wouldn't. I mean,
to leave that space open, I guess.
Well, I think you're gonna. I think you are anyway. I think here's the thing: it's sometimes we have to move on, but we don't cut anybody out or cut them off. So even in our, moving on or focusing on our life, that gives that person to come back. You know, because it's true.
Yeah.
Relationships need communication. Communication is key. Without good communication and making the partners or the people involved a priority, whether it's a personal relation or business relationship, it's not going to work. It's not going to be healthy, no matter how busy someone is. It's just...
Right.
But when's the last time you talked to him, if I can ask?
Oh, it's only like maybe...
Like a couple of days ago?
A couple days ago. But he was the one that kind of said, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk, you know, for a little bit. And I was like, okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
so that kind of
see, he's digging. Yeah, let him. That's what I'm saying. You move on or be open, you know.
Right.
If that's what he wants, but I can tell that's not really what he wants because he did this boo-boo. He doesn't know how to get out of it. He's not feeling it so much up there. He's
and it's tough for him to probably
long,
talk to me, too.
Yeah, and he's thinking if you guys date long distance and it's going to get to the same place again. He might even go out with a couple of people, but I see him coming. I see him coming back.
Right. Okay. I can see that. I just got to focus on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feed my soul.
Yeah, read my Facebook post. We're here to love each other, but not lose ourselves in each other. So
yes,
that's a big one right now. With the aspects, it's pointing out we have to put ourselves into the equation. You know, at all, right?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, we have to be a priority. You know. You'll probably know. What sign is he, by the way? You know?
Cancer. Yeah. Oh, do I know? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Of course. Yeah. Well, it's showing in the winter months a Cancerian guy around you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. All right.
So.
Okay.
Don't slam the door shut. Don't lock it. You know, leave the door open, leave a window open.
Yes, we're very forgiving.
It is tricky. It is tricky.
Yeah.
But that's you know, you're learning balance too. Like he's too much focused just on him and his needs, and you focused before a lot on the guy's needs. So you're learning, that's why you have to do both. You're learning to take somebody else into consideration, but also keep your own life going so that you can have it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote, have
just
it all.
Just love and respect the process that they're going through. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
which is not always easy. Yeah.
No, but, you know, I have my support system, so that's always nice.
You have what now?
Yeah.
Your support?
I have my support system, which is always nice, so. Well, thank you.
Yes. You're so welcome.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Wonderful
Bye.
To connect. All right.
Thanks.
Peace. Okay. Yeah. So it's very interesting. And I see other callers on the line. And if you would like to get on air, press 1 on your keypad if you have a question or a comment. Otherwise, if you're wanting to listen in by phone or just have a question or a comment as well, that number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. I find it very interesting, you know, what we've all been sharing with, you know, Charles calling in and Krista calling in. I think it's such a big indicator of the planetary and universal energies that are predominant right now. And we think of energy, if you think of the spectrum, you look at energy on the polarity from, let's say, really cold to warm, right? There's always a spectrum to what we're learning or what we're going through. There's always this balancing point. Oh, Denise is putting, did you talk about the energies at the moment, Michelle? I missed it at the start of the show. No, actually, I talked a little about intention and what's going on, and I'll kind of bring that in, Denise. He's asking that in the chat. Thank you. The quality is everything is energy, so it doesn't matter. You're using the same energy that you're using, you know, to listen to this podcast, that you're using to text, that you're using to watch TV, that you're using to read a book, that you're using to have sex with, that you're using to drive your car. You know, it's all the same. It's all energy. And so it's just the quality of energy. That's what changes, just like temperature changes. And so really when we look at what's happening right now with this, the dynamics on the planet right now, you know, is the call to balance or rebalance our energy. Where is there not enough? Where is there too much of something? You know, and where, what do we, and again, what do we value? If we get at this point in the process right now, on a soul level, we're being asked to kind of reconfigure, reformat, and reconfigure based on what we truly value. Now, that sounds kind of not just simple, but it's very, very far-reaching. It's very broad, and it's very not just poignant, but critical. Because in our past system, we have been focused on things that we don't necessarily really value, or we haven't been taught that we even need to ask the question, "What do we really value?" But we cannot have a amazing life, a really fulfilled life, if we don't know what we value. And therefore go for it. That's when you kind of are scratching your head thinking something is missing. Now, some people do this naturally. They have that foundation or culturally, you know, it's usually, I know the Maoris do that for sure. I mean, they even name their child one name at birth, and then around, I don't know if it's 11, 12, 13, 14, something around that age, when their interests are now coming out, then they are renamed by their interests, which I think is pretty phenomenal. So to have a really good foundation in our life, we have to know what we value. We have to know what's fulfilling for us and to provide that for ourselves, seek that out and be open to that, to draw that in. But when we don't know, we're just drawing in willy-nilly. We're just drawing in capriciously, you know, here and there. And that's, to some degree, is a part of it, has been a part of our path. And then we get to the redirecting of the soul where it says, no, now we need to really focus on what it is that brings us that fulfillment. My contention and what I've received from my guides is that in what we're co-creating, all of us, is a society that this will be built in from the beginning. This will be part of the foundation of children growing up. And you have some schools, there's some schools, you know, that are branches out here, Steiner, Rudolf Steiner, Waldorf. There are some schools that do that now. There's, you know, other private schools. But I mean in the mainstream where people, where children, you know, are guided towards what it is that truly resonates with them, for them, what gives them fulfillment, what they really value. And having human beings that are formatted more that way instead of a lot of fluff of what we don't value or, you know, don't need, but simplifying to what we do value. So on that note, since we're talking a bit about foundation and kind of birthing a new civilization, a new way of relating, it is time for our Awakening Dialogue, and today we have Lori Bregman with us. She is the founder of the Rooted for Life Pregnancy Coaching Program, which is a complete body, mind, and spirit support system that helps women through fertility, pregnancy, birth, and into motherhood. She blogs for Modern Mom, Mind Body Green, her own website, as well as Huffington Post. Her most recent book, The Mindful Mom to Be, A Modern Doula's Guide to Building a Healthy Foundation from Pregnancy Through Birth, best-selling book on Amazon in the pregnancy division, and I think it's good for anyone, actually. Lori, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, definitely. Love having you on the program. So excited.
Me too.
We talked a little bit at the beginning of the program of all the work, but I want to, because we have other listeners that have recently tuned in, everybody in the chat saying, yay, welcome, Lori. I think you're, well, we're going to dive in.
I
ask you a few things, but I do want to say, and when I say this book, I think it's amazing for women wanting to become pregnant, in the process of becoming pregnant, birthing. But I also kind of think it's a good thing, anybody, women especially, to have just in their, little arsenal of books in your bookshelf, because you have so many exercises, processes, you've got foods in here, healthy foods, or things, because I think when people are pregnant, when someone is going through that kind of life change, many women go through that without having the baby, go through these kinds of changes. So it really is a book that really, I think, supports women. So just wanted to let you know that.
Thanks.
You're so welcome. So I want to get a little bit of background information for our listeners on you. And I would start by asking, what was your first awakening? And then also, what got you focused on writing a book about being a mindful mom-to-be and being supportive as a doula?
What awoken me to this path, I was always just drawn to it, always drawn to working with pregnant women, always drawn to working with children, always drawn to working with women and empowering and healing and all that kind of stuff. I would say that I was just drawn to it, and everything I would learn, I kept thinking, how can I gear this towards pregnancy? How can I gear this towards children and making, bringing the foundation that they grow from into a stronger foundation? And I'd say it was at some point in my healing work that I was doing, I did a hypnotherapy session with you. This was one of my awakenings that, I came into the world feeling like there was a thing we came up with, you and I, that I realized that was I was a burden. I didn't feel like I deserved to exist, and that I was unlovable. And I was operating from this place of the wound my whole entire life. And you took me back to when it first started, and I went back into the womb, and I had a panic attack. And, this was an extreme case, but I felt everything that was going on, and I had no knowledge of anything that was going on. So I asked my mom at the time what happened to me, which she suggested to do. And she just told me that, the fact that I survived that pregnancy, my soul was meant to be here. And it kind of, what I realized is that had I not had that experience, I guess this is my awakening for this path, had I not had that experience and had that with my mother, I wouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing now and did the healing work that I did on myself, with not only just for myself, but for everybody that I came in contact with, and keep, it will always keep healing and growing. I think it's a never-ending process. You get to one level, you keep healing.
Absolutely. And Lori, what did you feel was missing? Because I find, I like what you said earlier about operating out of the womb, because I think all of us do. At some point, we're operating out of the wound until we turn that wounding into our gift. We recognize our gifts are there. What were you seeing was missing?
Well, I was seeing with all the pregnant women I was working with that they were going through so much emotional stuff and they were changing and growing and transforming into something else, and parts of themselves were dying off. And parts of themselves were like they were growing these new, literally wings, like a butterfly, right? And there was so much going on that I'd sit back and watch this transformation that was taking place and all this emotional stuff that was coming up and realize that there was so much focus on the baby, is my baby okay, that there wasn't enough on the mother and what she's going through. So I created Rooted for Life, which is my pregnancy coaching business, which supports their body, mind, and spirit through the transformation into motherhood, but also helps you give a solid foundation for you and your baby to grow from.
So tell us a little bit about the Rooted for Life. What is the, just a little bit about the premise of it in the program. I take it roots, it's making something stronger. I take it.
Right. What it is, well, so basically in my book, The Mindful Mom to Be, is a combination of my Rooted for Life pregnancy coaching business and my doula practice. So every month I come up with a monthly theme that helps you, that helps you with the transformation that's about to take place, which is whether it's being present or mothering yourself or going with the flow. We work on that for the whole month. I give you tools to do that. I give you holistic remedies for all pregnancy ailments. We kind of just meet to really go over all the emotional stuff that's going on and the physical stuff. I'll give you meditations every month to bond with your baby, yoga poses, breath work to clear and to relax, and again for ailments, things to do to prepare for birth.
Is the Rooted for Life program, and then, of course, you're saying that that's foundational, that's part of the foundation of the Mindful Mom to Be book. Am I understanding you?
Yeah.
Okay, are there certain segments? Let's talk about the program a little bit, the Rooted for Life, what you came up with there, and then we'll talk about how it translates into the book. Because I think the book is phenomenal, especially if somebody can't work with you.
I mean, the book really is my program.
It sounds like you're going to get your program is within the book. So what in the Rooted for Life program, how is the program set up? Is it like by trimester or is it certain stages? I guess, how does it?
I work monthly with people. So it's a month-to-month program. So every month we cover a different theme, and I give them journal work and all the tools to support, and we talk about it, and I check in with you 2 weeks later, and we see how it's going, and we try to really install these roots or these, these building blocks to your new wings, I call them, because so that way, once you have this baby, they're installed in you, they're a part of you, these new ways, you've kind of been living it for 9 months.
So would there be something different that you would give somebody, let's say, that just found out they were pregnant or trimester
no matter where you are, I always start with healthy mom, healthy baby, because that kind of lies the foundation for the whole program. And that one is just, it's about, looking at the way you're eating, making simple adjustments, looking at the products you're using, just kind of really planting seeds of mindfulness into them that by the better they take care of themselves, they're parenting that baby within. Because that baby is part of them. So we work a lot on that. That's usually the first thing I do. And then I'm really, a lot of it is honoring themselves, caring for themselves. I mean, it's just all these things. So once you get in the hang of doing this, you literally, it's easier for you afterwards. Because after you have your baby, you forget. You forget that you matter, that you do. Take care for yourself, and people forget that you have to put that oxygen mask on yourself so you can assist others. That if you're running on empty, you have nothing left to give to anybody else. If you can't be present with yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly, how can you be present with your child when they come to you? So it really starts with you, and you're the leader. They're going to be looking at you, and the way you live your life sets the bar and the tone for them to follow in. So that's what the program's really about.
And you find a lot of women, is this a new concept? Does this seem, from your experience in working with so many women, is this something new, kind of foreign to most women?
I think, I don't know I don't know if it's foreign. I think it's people are waking up to it. They're realizing there's a lot of people that want to be more mindful these days, that want that you know, want to do right for themselves and their child. And I'm seeing people waking up. People are more and more open to, wow, maybe I just need to do a little work on myself during pregnancy. It's not just about the foods I eat, but maybe there's some internal stuff that I need to, you know, work on a little bit before this baby comes.
And
I do believe
this now.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you first started, how open? Because you've been doing this for a while. You have, you know, long resume of working with a lot of people, as well as, you know, of course, celebrity clients as well, and you know, people with a high profile. To just kind of everyday people, you know. Do you notice a difference in your practice? Do you notice a difference from then when you first started?
Oh, absolutely. I started this, 8 years ago, doing the Rooted for Life program, putting it together, and people were, remember I was going back and forth between LA and New York, and the people, nobody was really ready for it. It was kind of, you know, nobody wanted to go there. There was a few. But most people didn't want to do the work. And now, really, I'm seeing a lot of people opening up to wanting to better themselves, wanting to be this amazing role model and you know, empower themselves to, and just, you know, they're waking up. I mean, people are waking up everywhere.
Yeah.
I think
I see that, too, even on the program with the questions people ask. Yeah, I agree with you, just more really recognizing that, hey, not only they have to do their own inner work, but that each new level, you know, each new passage in their life is going to require some introspection, reflection, and some kind of, you know, inner work. One thing you said, Lorraine, I want to go back to. You said something about if a woman is more mindful in the beginning and taking care of herself, that she's more likely to do that after the baby, less likely to forget about herself. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, because it becomes part of you. It's part, you're kind of locking in that habit. And you go into this baby bubble, everybody does, it's normal, where it's all about the baby, and the baby is completely dependent on you. It's 100% dependent on you. And you just have to find ways to, you know, either hire a postpartum doula or, you know, to have neighbors come over and take turns, or, you know, ask people. You know, this is another hard one for women of today's world, is to ask for help. And to receive. So
even mothers, even new mothers, you find have trouble asking for help.
I see this a lot. So and I think that's why this program has been so is big now too, is that I think we've tried to do it all by ourselves for so long, and now people are realizing, like, it's not weakness to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if you're afraid of something, saying I'm afraid of this or I have fear doesn't make you crazy. First-time moms, a lot of fear. There's a lot of joy and excitement, but there's a lot of fear of the unknown. And it's having that support, just somebody to tell you, you know, what you're going through is normal. You're okay. I see everybody's shoulders just relax.
And you do, in your book, The Mindful Mom-to-Be, you do bring in, I guess because it's mindful, you know, breath work, meditation. How important do you feel that is, and what difference do you notice the women that are integrating that, you know, not just in their life, but especially during their pregnancy?
The breath work that I have them do, that it's in my book, it's very clearing and relaxing. So the deeper and slower you breathe, the calmer you'll become. The calmer that you are, the calmer that baby's inside of you, you know, simmering in your energy. So it clears the spot, and it's also the breath that I use in birth. So the ones that have worked with me through the pregnancy, doing the breath and the meditation, it's the same breath we do in birth, so they just go right in. And I just kind of hook them up, start talking, and they just know what to do. The other thing is there's, with the meditation, there's a lot more, and the breath, when I connect it to your body and you hold and breathe into your body, there's a lot more body awareness, and you can actually massage the tension out with your breath. Another thing is the meditation and the bonding, being able to visualize. I mean, your mindset's everything. I mean, in labor, your body knows what to do. It's your mind. You have to take your mind out of the equation. And so if you can visualize certain things, if you can meditate on certain things, if you can go into a zone, I mean, you're going to shift the whole experience of your birth and your pregnancy, because it's, you know, your mind can control you, really can control your body.
Yeah.
So
how would one go about doing that? Like, let's say somebody had a lot of fear, and you did say, yeah, it can be the fear of the unknown, especially if it's their first, you know, pregnancy. How would one begin to shift that fear or that mindset that you're talking about?
Well, A, just letting them know that fear is normal. There's this thing that I keep hearing this over and over again. In fact, I just heard it this morning. Am I crazy for thinking this? Am I crazy for feeling this? And just like letting somebody know they're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I see everybody's body relax. Mm. And just kind of being in the know about their fear. Sometimes we fear what we don't know, and it's hard to know because birth is unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to be like as a mom. You can't predict. It's the ultimate journey. And one of the ways that I always help women with fear is to really be in the present moment, because most of the things we worry about might not ever happen because it's something in the future. And I have this thing that I call calling back your energy to the present, which is you just sit and you breathe into, you do your breathing into your body, and then you just breathe in today's date and you breathe out today's date, and you breathe in the time and you breathe out the time, and you breathe in your name and you breathe out the name, your name, and then you just kind of acknowledge that, like, I'm 16 weeks pregnant, my baby's healthy, I'm in a black dress, I'm sitting in my house, and you bring it back to the present moment that right here, everything is fine. And the stuff that you're worrying about isn't even real. And that's one of the things that how I help people. That's one of the exercises they do. And that really seems to be helpful. And and it really helps them because they're like, wow, I'm really spending a lot of energy worrying about something that what if that might not ever happen. And it's not even real. So that's one way that I do it with people.
I love that, Lori. That's a great – see, I told you guys, the book is great. Yes, moms-to-be, Craigie, but also everybody. Because how powerful – and I like – because you're essentially telling that – you're right, gather the mind, bringing it in the present. And by even looking at the clothes you're wearing, it's like, okay, I'm wearing this. I was doing it while you're saying it. So I was
right.
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean,
right.
My baby's not
your
even here yet.
Your mind can't wander. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Why am I? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very powerful. Because you're right. There's, in the present moment, there's nothing, there's no worry. You're sitting down, you're doing whatever, you're in this present moment. It's fine. You know, everything is good. You've done a lot of work on yourself, and you continue still to do a lot of healing work on yourself, inner work, you know, more awareness. You're very health conscious, work on balance. So you're really, you know, living what you're, you know, sharing and teaching. I loved a lot of chapters in the book, and maybe we'll, you know, get to all of them. But one that really stood out for me, and I want to get your take on why you put it in the book, but I think it's phenomenal that you did, is you talk about knowing your limits and setting boundaries. And you talk also about know your emotional alarms.
Mm-hmm. So
phenomenal.
This has been such a big one for me that I have to continue working on is boundaries. And sometimes people don't even know when they've been crossed. And a boundary is a personal rule that you set for yourself, a limit that you set for yourself. And everybody's boundaries are different. We have all different levels, limits, which is a big thing for me. Even in this book, I talk about, like, you can't compare your limits to somebody else's, or paces mm-hmm. and rhythms, and no two women are the same, families, pregnancies. You can't, there's no one right way to do anything. Just like that, there's no, we all have different levels of boundaries and limits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So setting them is, it's crucial, because again, it's an act of self-love, self-care.
Mm-hmm.
To know what you're, you know, how much you'll do, where you'll set the limits, and what happens to you when you set them, when you cross them, and why. And some people, for some, you know, I get really aggravated and angry. My jaw tightens. I get tired because I've done mm-hmm. something. That's my emotional alarm saying that, you know, or I can feel myself getting, oh, I don't want to do this. And that's mm-hmm. when I said yes, and I should have said no.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how would somebody find it? Those are the emotional alarms. So how would somebody find their emotional alarms? I guess how would they identify, you know?
Well, they have to know what their boundaries are, what their limits are. You have to create your limits. And uh-huh. and so
okay.
so something, here's an example. Something for me is I try not to take clients before 12 o'clock. I try to make the mornings for me to write, to do whatever I need to do, to work out,
mm-hmm.
to kind of do my social media, everything. And if I take a client or get on the phone with somebody and I end up on the phone with them for an hour, I've crossed my boundary. And not to say, like, look, if there's a birth or if there's a real emergency, I'll do it, because I think too strict boundaries are... then you become rigid.
Right. You don't want to, but you're saying based on an everyday level. Yeah.
At an everyday level, if I keep just, then I'm basically saying no to myself and yes to everybody else. And
mm-hmm.
what happens with that, then I get aggravated because I didn't do what I wanted to do for myself. And then my whole day kind of gets thrown off. So my emotional alarms are what happens when I don't fix what I say on a daily
mm.
level. How does it make me feel? What are my alarms that go off?
Boy,
like you, Michelle.
Powerful.
What would yours be? How would you feel if a boundary was crossed for you? Resentful.
I was just saying that. Irritated. Kind of irritated. I also, and like you said, you know, you can't always be strict because sometimes things happen. But I find if I'm extending mm-hmm. or giving out too much,
mm-hmm.
then I really kind of slam shut. You know, I really have to pull back. It's like to
right.
kind of recalibrate, you know.
Right.
But I think the irritation, getting a little snappy, you know, overwhelmed, which I think I'm going to do that process that you just said, a minute ago about, you know, being in the present moment. Because I
mm-hmm.
find with my clients and myself as well, now that we're talking,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard at the top of the program, but I've had all this stuff going on. Because I feel overwhelm is actually, now that you and I are talking, if you're really in the present moment, you can't be overwhelmed. It's you get overwhelmed when you're thinking too much about what you have to do. So you're not in the present
right.
moment. Because if you're in the present moment, right? So I think
right.
for anybody, right? I think anybody pregnant or not, doing this process of, you know, look at the date, look at the time, look at your clothes, look at where you're at, you know, really ground yourself in that present moment. Look what you're doing. Oh, you're reading a book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That right away would clear overwhelm. You know, which I'm sure is a biggie up actually, and I know from friends of mine and clients of mine that have been pregnant, definitely happens when they have the infant, the child. But even I find a lot of times during the pregnancy, there is this feeling of overwhelm. And
yeah, there's so
you know
much I have to get done and
lot,
do. And
yes, what is it? Yeah, there seems to be women go through that they don't have enough time, they're overwhelmed. I don't know if it's because of emotions, if it's hormonal fluctuation, or is there more to do?
I mean, there's. I think here's the one thing that I do feel, and I always tell my clients this, is the media and the marketing about over-consuming of products. there's like, mm-hmm. oh, I need to buy this, mm-hmm. I need to buy that, I need to buy this, I need to get that, I got to check into this, I need. And mm-hmm. the baby needs you. All that baby needs is you.
Wow.
I mean, mm-hmm. so in the beginning, you can get the stuff, that the basics that you need, but all the other stuff, there's so much that you don't need. I do believe in getting, if you can afford it, having support, or if you can't, even if you can't afford it, having a friend come help you, getting creative ways. I think support, women supporting other women, I think is huge. Post-birth, and even doing a meal, like where all your friends pull together and bring you meals, I think that's important. But there's the over-consuming of everything you need. Then it becomes overwhelming because you're like, I need to get, and I'm like, you need what? What do you
yeah.
need that for? Like, so
yeah,
I think that's where it becomes overwhelming. And just it's the unknown. So you're prepared. Again, there's so much of the unknown. I don't know what I need. Will my baby need this? And so you can always get anything on Amazon these days.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you are.
You know what I love here, Lori, it seems that you're also saying that, and maybe this is one of the roots, it sounds like, too, you're getting back to this kind of sisterhood, community. I think of the Red Tent. I think of
mm-hmm.
other culturas, where the women come together, you know, from the youngest, 2, 3, 4-year-old, up to, you know, the abuela, the grandmother, great-grandmother, you know, that everybody is involved, the neighbor, you know, bringing food, talking, sharing. Is that part of this system that you not just believe in and use? I mean, do you suggest that to people to really, if they have it, to have that kind of support that we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, people do it in cultures all over. I was just working with a bunch of women from Saudi Arabia, and they go stay at their mother's house after they have babies, and all the sisters and all the cousins and the aunts and everybody come over and take care of them for 40 days. In our culture, you know, we're pretty much like one of the only cultures that don't, you know, line up
do
with
that.
The support that
yeah.
we need. And I think, you know, and again, you don't have to always have money to do that. It's relying on friends and relatives and just, again, putting together a community of people to help.
Mm-hmm.
I know that something, again, everybody, you know, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to ask for help. Oh, I don't want to put anybody out. But something that
mm-hmm.
I have to remember, too, because it's been a big one for me to learn how to receive, is that you're giving. I love to give. And, like, when I can come over and bring somebody something and do something for somebody, it's a gift for me to be able to give. So something to remember is by asking for help and having somebody do for you, you're actually giving them a gift of being of service, which makes you feel amazing when you can do something for somebody. So
mm-hmm.
it's another way to ask, you know, and also if you have a group of pregnant women, you're all going to be having babies at some point. Like, just, I'll help you, you know, I'll rub your back, you rub my back. It's, you know, I'm all about supporting women. Other women.
Yeah.
I love
that. Yeah. And And I think we need more of that. It's kind of a indirect mentoring, you know, and we're stronger for that, you know. And I think men need it too. I think we need to have men do it in our culture, and, you know, we can be together. But I think we also need the place where women are supporting women, you know, and sharing and being there. You know, as well. I think it's very powerful. Now, do you find most of the women that you work with are doing that, or at your suggestion, do they start to get more support in that way instead of less thinking of, I have to do it all on my own?
It depends on the person, because some people can do it all their own, and some people, you know, need support, but they don't ask for it because they think they need to spend all this money to do it. And, you know, it's another thing I want to say, too, is in the old days, we used to live really close to our families. Our families, maybe our parents, you know, now it's like today's modern world, you know, families are, everybody has, people are working. They have financial obligations. needs to take care of. Mm-hmm. They've got other children. They're living far away, or some of people are just estranged from their family. So, again, it's really we create these sub-families of friendships and neighbors and that you know, or people that you meet at yoga class, or you know, you develop these new friendships that just to ask for help that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you take a very holistic approach, but also an individual approach, that you're treating each person, you know, each woman individually based on perhaps where they're at, you know, in their
and
life,
who they
or their
are.
Needs or what set up, mm-hmm. and who they are. Okay.
Yeah. So I've, like I said before, I've been working with pregnant women for about 25 years and been a doula for 14 and put together this coaching program 8 years ago. In my years, all my years, I've never, ever taken the same woman through pregnancy, birth. I've never seen the same child. I've never seen the same family. I've never, you know, they work with the same kind of a woman. I mean, same woman. So mm-hmm. I don't think there's one right way to do anything. I think there's a right way for you. And I think you have to treat everybody as an individual. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
I like that.
Pick and I help them find their right way that's right for them, that's authentic and real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I worked with this yesterday. I just got interviewed for this doula interview. And I just said to her, I don't care how you do it. I just want it to be your truth. Not because your yoga teacher says it should be done this way. Not because your mother says it should be done that way. I want to find what feels right for you and your husband. And together we're going to create this whole thing that works for you.
Mm. I like that. Well, no wonder you're so popular. You're really, you know, yeah, well, you're not imposing. I mean, you're definitely coming as an expert. You're sharing, you know, your experience and your training and, you know, and your wisdom from working with so many women.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking the individual into account, which must feel really great.
You have to, because
for somebody.
Because how I would do it is different. I mean, I'm not them. And just because I might do it a certain way for myself, because I know who I am and I know the way I operate
mm-hmm.
and what the right thing for me is, does not make that the right thing for them. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm really keep my judgment and my projections out of it. It's something that I pride myself on. I think it's really important. Because if a woman says to me, this feels right to me, and I say to her, oh, no. Like, you can't do it that
mm-hmm.
way. That's wrong. Then how are they ever going to trust themselves? If I say it's wrong,
ooh,
how are they going to trust themselves if they feel that this is right? I mean, by me supporting them, I'm empowering them to find the right way that feels right for them. And then they'll continue that on throughout their choices that they make.
Wow. Wow, Lori, what a, oh, my God, that's so true. What a realization. I mean, because I'm just thinking like kind of old paradigm, old school, you know, a lot of books or, you know, would come out and say you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way, this is the right way. But you, to me, what you just said there, how can a woman trust her intuition if you're not empowering them to do so right from the beginning? And you can't just say, oh, okay, well, you'll know yourself and you'll know your child if all
mm-hmm.
along they've only been doing things that somebody else told them, you know, was the one and only way to do it.
Right, and there's not one right way. I mean, there's so many things I love about attachment parenting and the Rye method and this method and that method. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pull out a sentence or two or maybe like five little things or like even two little things from a book and circle them and be like, that feels right to me. That I'm going to add, because it's like, you know, you pick and you make your way and you see who this child is. This is down the road parenting. You see who your family is,
mm-hmm.
you the way you guys live, and you kind of make your way authentically.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
I like
and
this.
Again,
there's
like
no
if you and don't
com- I'm hearing.
There's no formula, and don't
mm-hmm.
compare yourself to
mm-hmm.
to Sue because or Joe because they're not you. And
mm-hmm.
when you can focus that attention and just bring it back to yourself, and also again. doing falling back your energy back to you, where it's just, again, I am, you know, Lori Bregman, I am this, I am that, I am this, you name it, you can see how different they are than you. That's, again, bringing, you know, that exercise I did earlier, being in the present moment. That's also being grounded in yourself. So you really see how, you know, you can appreciate what they do, and maybe you can try some of the things they do, but, again, really see that they're not you, and what's working for them might not be what's going to work for you.
I can see why also it's mindful mom-to-be, because there is reflection, which to me I'm hearing leads to empowerment. People, you're really suggesting that these women are reflecting on themselves, you know, contemplate what's really important to them, how are they really, realistically, what kind of lifestyle do they have, and then showing them and giving them, you know, the tools to, you know, have the most fulfilling, you know, healthy pregnancy, you know, that they can based on who they are, you know.
Right. Right. And even when I take somebody and in the beginning when I look at their foods they're eating, I won't even, I'll keep it, I won't change their diet and make them a vegan. Like, I'll just tweak, maybe just be like, hey, instead of, you know, regular white pasta, maybe we can do brown rice pasta because it has more nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that's the small tweaks I'll make. I'm not going to go and just change their whole being, but we're going to work with who you are and where you're at and then kind of look at that and from there we'll do it. Build your way.
Really, this, yeah, in a, when I was looking through the book, it's like, you know, I mentioned earlier, holistic, because you're bringing in so much. I mean, there's movement, you're physically talking about the body changing, you know, what exercises or yoga poses people can do, but you go into, you know, even what type of baths, you know, going into, you know, nutrition, diet, you know, what things that will help support them. And then you also have that inner, you know, looking at their boundaries. I love the month six. I don't know why you picked that. Patch it up.
Mm-hmm.
Got a quote in there from Leah. Let's raise children who won't have to recover from their childhood. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been
so
a lot of years.
Patch it up. Yeah, what is, I hear you. We all have. You know? Yeah, it's that, and I guess you might see that, you know, looking your childhood, how you grew up working with other people as a healer and teacher. I admire you're very committed to helping people raise their awareness, get healthy, you know, raise their consciousness so that there's more conscious environment, there's more conscious parenting, you know.
Well, and healthy in their mind, body, and spirit. So it's not just their body. I think that's the big where this book is.
Yes.
It's not just about the body. It's not about what's happening with your body and what's happening with your baby, but it's about what's happening, you know, what you can do to be healthy
mentally,
in your mind,
emotionally,
and your spirit.
Spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You talk about patch it up. Talk about the inner child or the wounded, you know, inner child. What is your thought process there with when one is going through their pregnancy on healing their wounding?
Well, we all have this wounded or inner child that lives inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you're not aware of who what part of you that is, it can come up in parenting. It can come up, you know, by trying to heal that part of yourself through your children. So, for example, if you were abandoned as a child, you might try to heal that abandonment through your children, which is like, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you, and you might overdo that and then create, then when you actually leave that child, they'll have abandonment issues because you left them. So it's like unknowingly, unconsciously, you're doing the opposite. So, and your children are, you know, they come in with their own life, their own soul path, and it's not really, it's unconscious. So it's one of those things that, to really take a look inside and see maybe what needs some healing internally. Or if you didn't get to do something as a child, you might try to recreate that in your child. Or if you love something so much as a child, your child might not love that either. So it's kind of just, you know, just being aware.
I guess correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're also saying you're treating the mother or mother-to-be individually and actually suggesting and how they can also do that with their child. So if they're seeing themselves more as an individual, their uniqueness, their gift, it sounds like not to project it onto their needs or unmet needs onto their child, but to recognize their child as their own unique being.
Yeah. Well, that's in my chapter on your authentic self. So
yeah.
I think that I talk a lot about. I really support, everything's being authentic to me with the way you're doing things. But the more real and authentic you can be with yourself and okay with it, the more you're going to be okay with somebody else being authentic in their own uniqueness.
Mm.
You know,
It's so new. Your book. It's so new paradigm. It's what's being co-creating. It's, you know, it's the next wave. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like it's easier to be, you know, honor somebody else's authenticity if we're living authentic. And you know, it is. It's very hard to do if you're not living authentically. It's, you know.
They say that some of the most, the most judgmental people are the hardest on themselves. And
yeah.
So, again, it's like if you have to be okay with you and really be true with you and live from that place of, you know, if you're not really living your truth, you're going to be critical.
Mm-hmm.
And then if
That's
you can't
so
accept
true.
Yeah, if you're kind of just doing your thing and you're really, like, feeling good about who you are and in all your, you know, authenticness, you're going to be okay when your child comes home and it's just like, this is who I am. And instead of trying to mold them into something that you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you think they should be.
I had somebody someone say one time, you think I'm so critical, you should be inside my head and hear how I am with me. And I thought, ooh, that's right.
Oh,
ooh, that's
exactly.
Exactly what you're saying. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great read. The other thing I really like about your book as well is it's packed with a lot of information, insight, your wisdom. However, it is such an easy read. The languaging and the layout, it's really so easy. It's so easy to read. You know.
I know. I had some people that emailed me, and they're like, "Oh my God, I loved your book. I read it in a day." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I have to read that in a day." But they, people are.
Oh, you can.
And you can reread it too. It's one of those.
That's
it's one of those things
I think
that,
it's a good little reference book. Hmm?
Yeah, My grandmother read it. Instead of, although this has nothing to do with me, and she's 90-something years old, 90 years old, and she said, although this has nothing to do with me, like, I learned more about life than I have just by reading this book than I knew. Yeah. So.
It's a great, great, great read, and just chock full of wonderful information and processes and exercises. I mean, it's really a map, a guide. Yes, the guide. It's a guide map. Lori, we're winding out now, winding out of time. Thanks so much for being on the program. This has been
thanks for having
amazing. Me. We already have some people in the chat that want to get the book for their pregnant friend. I love it. That's great.
I love it.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. Okay. Bye.
All right. That was by Lori Bregman. The book that we've been discovering is The Mindful Mom-to-Be, A Modern Doula's Guide to Building a Healthy Foundation from Pregnancy Through Birth. Of course, you can get it online, Amazon, all the usual places. If you want to more information on Lori, you can go to loribregman.com. She also has a presence on Facebook and Instagram. And again, the book was The Mindful Mom-to-Be by Lori Bregman. Love it. Great guests. Great book, great listener participants in the chat, holding the sacred space. As always, it's so great to be with all of you here, and thank you all that called in as well. And All Things Awakenings, if you have any guest suggestions, topic suggestions, dreams you want interpreted, questions for me, email us at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. That's awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And it will get forwarded to me. All right, everyone. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.